One of Mawlana Saharanpuri's Abdul Rahman Bari's cousin, known as Shabir. So he used to make zikr in abundance, excessively, though some of his ways are not right, inclined towards certain wrong things. But doing zikr, etc., in abundance has a certain effect. Right? You begin to see certain things sometimes. Sometimes it has a certain effect. And the individual mistakenly feels to himself that now I have progressed. Once Hazrat Ji Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, he was at Aligarh, because he comes originally from Aligarh, and as he was coming near the masjid, one person came from the opposite direction, and he was a Hindu. Hazrat had known him, so this Hindu asked Mawlana Hazrat Ji Ahmed Talib, "Are you bayat to anybody and are you making zikr?" He said, "Yes, I am bayat, I do make zikr." So Hazrat became a little bit curious, "Then how do you know about it?" He says, "No, I also do zikr, etc. And how did you start off zikr?" So now I went to Mawlana Fazlur Rahman, Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi, and I took bayat at his hands, though I had not accepted Islam. And he initiated me in zikr. So I have that type of sense, I can make it out. Okay, someone is bayat, someone is making zikr, etc. I can feel it. So our Buzugaradin generally, they will not give bayat to any non-Muslim. And the reason for them not giving him bayat is that the zikr has a certain effect. Now, when that effect begins to appear in a man, he mistakenly feels that now he's progressed. He sees something, he feels something, he has certain dreams, etc. Sometimes he will see a light, whatever. And on account of these type of experiences, he is misled into thinking that he has progressed. Some years ago, Jamaat had gone to Japan. So one Japanese that was practicing yogism, he met up with this Jamaat. And he says to this Jamaat that I have developed tremendously in spiritualism. I have gone very, very, very far. So they asked him, "And what have you developed?" He said, "What I have developed? The Amir Sahib was a nice, strong, well-built person." So with a movement of an eye, he dropped the Amir Sahib. Just flicked his eye and he dropped the Amir Sahib. A couple other things he did. So now they understood that this person has done certain spiritual exercises. As a result, he can do certain things. So he said, they asked him that, "You have done this through spiritualism." He said, "Yes." "So you have made great advances." He says, "I have made some advancements, but that is no comparison to the type of progress and to the thing that you are doing." He said, "And what do you know about what we are doing?" He says, "The thing that you are doing is zikr. And when you people start off all these things here, I see a light from the earth ascending right to the heavens." Right? "I see a light coming from the earth right to the heavens as a result of you all making zikr or reciting the Quran Sharif, etc., etc. So what I have got is in no way near to what you people have got. You people have got something far greater." So now, many a times people go into the spiritualism and they see certain things, they feel nice, they do certain exercises. Right? Presently these two exercises that people do, one is yogism and one is reku or something, right? People do these things, they feel nice, they feel elated, they feel nice within themselves, and then they feel mistakenly that spiritually they are progressing. There's no progress. The only criteria for progress is the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are just certain feelings that you will go through, certain feelings, certain experiences, certain things that you will be able to see that others cannot see. Someone will see light, someone will see perhaps some jinnat, someone may be able to see even farishta, malaika, but all these things will not take you anywhere. The only way that you can progress is on the path of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nowhere else. Every other avenue of progress has been sealed permanently. So the only avenue, the only way that has been left is the sunnah. You adopt the sunnah and you will progress. You don't adopt the sunnah, you cannot progress. No matter how you have progressed, how much you have progressed spiritually, but that progress means nothing. So this Shabir, this cousin of Maulana, Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmah, he did certain exercises, etc. And as a result of that exercises, when he would sit down to make zikr, he would have a big log. And as he says, La ilaha, and that log is moving from one end to the other, he says, Illallah, the thing is moving on to the other end. So someone told Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmah, this Shabir, your cousin, he's progressed so much that he can just take your head and press it under his arm, and in that he can show you Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He can allow you to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, in that. He'll just take your head, press it under his arm, and he'll make you see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Mawlana says, there's no doubt that he will be able to do that. He's able to do it, right? But baki ye bidati hai, usse bachke rehna. His ways are not right. He's inclined towards innovations, bidat, etc. Don't go close to him. You may see the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and mistakenly you may feel that, no, I have progressed. I've gone somewhere, I've progressed. But really you haven't got anything. Abu Lahab also seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a wakeful state, let alone in the sleep. Abu Jahl also saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but their seeing was not acceptable. Right? Many other kuffar, Utba and Shayba, all these people saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but their seeing of what value, of what good was it to them. So the only criteria, the only way that has been left now, is the way that was left behind by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you follow that way, you are progressing. You don't follow that way, no matter how fancy, how exciting, how thrilling that path may seem to be, but it's not going to take you anywhere. Our Mashayikh and our Buzurganuddin would not accept any Hindu or non-Muslim for theirs, let alone a non-Muslim or a Hindu. Even if a person's ways were deviant, totally, his beliefs all were off, though he called himself a Muslim, they won't accept him. And the reason why they won't accept him is, if he is going to carry on, he will experience certain things. And when he experiences those things, he'll feel, well, I don't have to be a Muslim to experience these things. So Islam is not necessary. He will consider these experiences to be important and to be something great, something to be excited about. And Islam is something just by the way, inadvertent, something just by the way. And the real thing is these experiences. So Islam will just become a thing by the way, and these experiences will be the thing that he'll be striving for. And the more he'll be carrying on in this way, he'll be going more backwards. He's not going to progress in any way. Right? So our Mashayikh would not just take any person for bayat. Right? What we're getting at is the spiritual exercises, and people do this, they practice these things, and they get certain experiences. And really, it's not something that we should be going towards and getting worried and concerned about. Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was responsible in the last century, about two centuries ago, to spread Islam in India, like how the Tablighi Jamaat is doing it wholesale, you know. Then about two centuries ago, this same work was done by Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi. And his work, the effect of his work lasted approximately 100 years. And then you find people continued it afterwards. The same work that he had done, then there was a continuity sometimes in the form of a madrasa, in the form of tabligh jamaat, in the form of jihad, etc. This was a continuity of what Mu'ayy Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah had done. So, Mu'ayy Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah, he was the student, he was the murid of Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah. Both of them fought and they strived so greatly. If you look at the history, and if it wasn't for this Mu'ayy Ismail Shaheed Sahib, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah, then the chances are that 80-90% of the Indian Muslims 2 centuries ago in India would have all been Hindus or Shias. They wouldn't have been on the path, on the way that they are now presently. So it's a result of these people's efforts that we are where we are today. 70-80% of the Muslims would have been just in Shiaism, would have been Hinduism or Shiaism. They would have been totally lost. These people strived. They strive as a result of it. We are enjoying from the fruits of their striving. So, Mawlana Ismail Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, had heard of one Hindu fair, how they have these fairs yearly. They have a fair, you know, the souk in town also. So they have these fairs, India also they have it. So it's a very big, major Hindu fair. Like how we have on the Good Friday here, and the Hindus, they have that fair. So they used to have a great fair. And people from different parts of India will all collect at one point. Delhi was the most central point, they will come to Delhi. And they will attract all of Hindus. And all type of things will be happening there. Someone is doing something, someone is doing his sorcery, magic, whatever, thrilling the crowd. So there are a lot of things that are happening. Ismail Shaheed, Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah, he asked Mawlana Ismail, etc., go and find out, that is there any person that is potential? He's got some potential for the acceptance of truth. So they went and scouted the whole place and came back. He said, yes, there is one person that seems to be potential. He's attracting a crowd and he has some potential in the acceptance of the truth. So Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah and Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah both went. As they went, they sat down with this person. They aren't talking now. They aren't talking. Both are challenging each other. They both are showing each other what they can do and what they can perform. So Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah takes out, he just stretches his hands and he brings a fruit. There's nothing, there's no fruit at all, but he brings out a fruit from the unseen. So that Hindu yogi, he does the same. He just stretches his hand and he brings out a fruit. Alright, so Mawlana knows, alright, this person is in power in that level. So what Mawlana did was that he stretched his hands out again and he got a knife from the unseen. He also got a knife and a glass, small little glass. Mawlana thereafter slit his wrist a little bit and he allowed the blood to pour into the cup. And he took this blood and he buried it underground. The Hindu did the same. He slit, he got the knife, he got the little small glass. He slit himself and he poured the blood into the cup and he buried it. After an hour or so, Mawlana unearthed the place. He took the cup out and the blood was fragrant like musk and zafran. Very beautiful fragrance was coming out of it. The Hindu took out his blood and it was covered with worms. It had already decayed and there was a smell, strong smell, bad smell coming out of it. So then Mawlana had an opportunity to speak to this person. He said, see, in the surface of this earth, both of us seem to be equal with regards to spiritual powers. What I can do, you can do, right? But beneath the earth, this is the result, this is the consequence of your blood. There's worms, there's stench, there's dirt, there's filth. Because of the faith that you align yourself to, this is the result of the faith that you align to. Beneath this earth, there's stench, there's dirt, there's worms, right? and the result of my blood. And look at it. There's a strong fragrance of musk coming out of it. Musk and saffron, beautiful fragrance is coming out of it. So this is the result of, this is the consequence of myself, this is the consequence, this is the end of yourself. On the surface of this earth today, both of us seem to be the same. Ya qawmi lakumul mulkul yawma zahirina fil ard. Today it seems as though you people are prevailing. لَكُمُ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمَ الظَّاهِرِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَمَنْ يَنْصُرُنَا مِنْ بَأْسِ اللَّهِ إِنْ جَاءَنَا. Then when we leave the service of this earth, when we are underneath, then what's going to happen? Will you still be able to have that type of power and that type of strength, that type of... Will you be able to exercise that type of authority? The Hindu came into his senses, he's seen this, he understood that no... Yes, I have some type of power, some type of authority, perhaps in this, on the surface of this earth. Beneath, I don't have anything. And I'll have to eventually go in that. In that realm, everybody will have to leave this and end up there. No matter what he is, what powerful person he may be, what a wealthy person, what type of spiritual exercises he may have done, but he'll have to leave this, he's going down. So the intelligent, wise thing for me is to abandon what I am doing and align myself to this person's faith, because it seems that this person has got a better future than myself. Now it will be stupidity when I see that his future is bright, his future is interesting, his future is exciting, I persist upon mine and I don't align myself to his way. So this thing, these spiritual exercises, this is not something new, it's not something that didn't happen in the past, it's happening now. No. It happened in the past, people practiced it. Basically, if anybody practices it, he will get certain powers, right? When you leave out some of your physical needs, right? And you go against your lust and your temptation, then you build certain powers within you, right? Now this, anybody can achieve this. You prevent yourself from lust. You prevent yourself from lust and from temptation. Right, and you remain upon the bare minimum, then you will find that you'll be able to see certain things, you'll be able to do certain things. But now, is that a sign, is that a symbol of a man making any progress? It's not a sign of progress. That can be achieved by anybody. One of Umarji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he spoke out against some of the wrong practices that people are involved in, you know, like how you have Agyarvi Sharif, whatever it is, so he spoke something against it. So those people came up in arms and they want to challenge Maulana. The Maulana, what we will do is we will light up 2 tons of coal and we will see that are we able to walk over it or you? Right? If you are able to walk over it, that means you are on the truth. And if we are able to walk upon it, then means we are on the truth. Maulana says that this is no criteria. Walking over that burning embers of coal is no criteria, because the Hindus are doing the same thing. They get into a trance, and after they have got into a trance, they can walk upon these things here. It's no criteria. Right? In fact, they will do some worse things. Someone will pierce a sword right into his stomach, and he will do strange things. Right? Now they do this, and it is sometimes just mesmerism. It is sometimes just an imagination, they make you imagine certain things. Sometimes it is some spiritual strength that they have got. The person is put into trance and he does some things. So this is not a criteria for acceptance. It's not a criteria for the truth. If this should be the criteria for the truth, that means Hinduism is true. Tomorrow if a Christian does it, that means he is true. So this is not a criteria. This is where our people get confused. Sometimes some person has got some healing power. And there may be some truth in it that he's got certain healing power. Right? It's not wrong. He may have some healing power. But that healing power in itself is not indicative of the man being on the truth. Okay? This is to do with the spiritual self. When you build yourself up certain powers, you get certain powers, you can see certain things, you can do certain things. Now, you see someone doing something like this, he's got some healing power. He can tell you some things. He can see certain things. Now you fall for the person, and you compromise your faith, you compromise your iman. So this is no such, it's not a thing that you need to compromise your faith. You'll find amongst the blacks, even the Sangomas are doing something. They make certain predictions. Sometimes that thing works out right. So this, all these things are no indication. It's not a symbol. It's not a sign of truth. The only sign of truth is in the emulation, in the following of the Mubarak and respectable, honorable, dear ways of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You move away from that, whatever you achieve after that, the whole world comes to your feet. You get all the power, spiritual powers you get, is all nonsense, is all by the way. See? It's not something to put your heart to, it's not something to be proud about, it's not something to be concerned about. No. I mean, look, Shaitan, what powers he's got. Shaitan and Jinnat, that what powers they can move. In a second, they can move from one part of the globe to the next part of the globe. Show me the best space shuttle or something, right? Best rocket that can cover the entire span of the earth in 1 second. Can they do it? They can't do it. So Shaitan has made that type of Shaitan and Jinnat, they have made that type of progress. So if this type of supernatural things were things that we could go by, right, then we should have all gone to on the way of Shaitan. See? So it's not a thing that you go by, it's not a criteria, it's not a thing to be excited about, not a thing to be thrilled about. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, there was a Jewish woman, you know, and she was a magician, whatever it was. So people would go to her, and she would do something. If a person had eye ailment, that eye ailment would be cured straight away. She would just go and do something. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu warned the people that don't go to her. She's got certain jinnat. Right? She's got certain shaitan under her control. And the jinnat makes you feel as though you've got an eye ailment. Right? Then if you subscribe to the jinnat and you show that you've got faith in him, you've got confidence, he will just remove that effect. He will cause that ailment. And when you show you've got faith and respect in the jinnat, then what happens? It will remove that feeling. So now you feel you've been relieved. So what was it? It was just that feeling. It was a feeling that you were made to feel. You know, I've got an eye ailment, etc. The moment you showed him the respect, the moment you believed in him, etc., he removed that feeling. So these type of things are all play. It's a joke. It is not a thing that you put your heart into. It's not a thing to get concerned about. See? The more important thing is iman. See? Say you've got all the treatment, everything worked out right. But at the expense of your iman, what have you got? Your child was saved, but you have to do something that was against iman, against faith. What have you achieved? You haven't achieved anything. It was better that the child remained with iman and died with iman than him being recovering and compromising his faith. So you will find in this day and time as well that these type of things will carry on and they will progress. You will see these things. People become weak in their faith. Any problem, any tragedy comes their way, are they weak? And anything any person has to offer, you're going towards it. In the meanwhile, you don't realize that you are compromising your iman, compromising your faith. So this is an area that we need to be very, very cautious, very careful. Don't compromise the faith and iman for anything. Another tawfiq asid.